Hi, I'm Maggie.
And I'm Nicole. Welcome to the DAC Dyslexia and Coffee podcast. We're so happy you could join us. We're both moms and dyslexia interventionists who want to talk about our students and children. What dyslexia is, how it affects our kids, strategies to help, and topics related to other learning disabilities will all be covered in this podcast. Parents are not alone, and we want to give a voice to the concerns and struggles we are all having. This is a safe place to learn more about how to help our children grow and succeed in school and the world. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, everybody. We are going to start this episode, like we do every week, with the concept of the week. So the concept of the week is our opportunity as practitioners to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and let everyone into an intervention session. We like to talk about things that either we would be teaching explicitly to our students or we would be talking to their parents about, some kind of little nugget of information that directly relates to what it is we do. Today's concept of the week relates to this actually whole episode. Today's concept of the week is the International Dyslexia Association, not everyone knows, otherwise known as IDA. So if you hear Nicole and I talk about IDA, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the International Dyslexia Association. It is a global nonprofit that works to ensure individuals with dyslexia receive evidence-based instruction and support them, their need to grow educationally, personally. And it recognizes it as a lifelong learning difference.
So, welcome to episode 67. We're going to talk about the dyslexia definition. The International Dyslexia Association just changed the definition of dyslexia for the first time in a long time.
2002, I believe.
Yeah, I think you are correct.
Yeah.
And they just made the new definition this October of 2025, and they all voted it in. So we thought it would be interesting to kind of compare the two definitions and then talk about what the differences are and what we like and what...
And how we have some feelings, everybody.
So the previous definition was dyslexia is a specific learning disability that is neurobiological in origin. It's characterized by difficulty in accurate or fluent word recognition and by poor spelling or decoding skills. These difficulties typically result from a deficit in the phonological component of language that is often unexpected in relation to a person's cognitive ability and provision of effective classroom instruction. Secondary consequences may include problems in reading comprehension and reduced reading experiences that can impede the growth of vocabulary and the background knowledge.
Yeah. So the new definition officially adopted by the Board of Directors in October of this year. Now it says, dyslexia is a specific learning disability characterized by difficulties in word reading and or spelling that involved accuracy, speed or both, and vary depending on the orthography. These difficulties occur along a continuum of severity and persist even with instruction that is effective for the individual's peers. The causes of dyslexia are complex and involve combinations of genetic, neurobiological, and environmental influences that interact throughout development. Underlying difficulties with phonological or morphological processing are common but not universal, and early oral language weaknesses often foreshadow literacy changes. Secondary consequences include reading comprehension problems and reduced reading and writing experience that can impede growth in language, knowledge, written expression, and overall academic achievement. Psychological well-being and employment opportunities also may be affected. Although identification and targeted instruction are important at any age, language and literacy support before and during the early years of education is particularly effective.
That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
So, that's a lot of information. We did find a pretty good article that kind of compares the two definitions, and we thought we would break it down a little bit in that regard. I think the good thing is they both say they're neurobiological, which basically means it begins in the brain, which mm-hmm. is what the research tells us, right?
Yes. In the new definition, they do kind of include that, like, environmental influences, mm-hmm. Which is something that is heavily researched and has been out there for years. So I'm happy to see that inclusion there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and basically what they're saying, because it's developmental too, you know, it's still part of developmental growth.
Exactly. You know, the new definition also talks about effective reading instruction, and that often dyslexia does persist even with effective reading right. instruction, which, again, I think is something really important to address. My hope is that that also kind of stops a lot of the icky, like, we can just cure it,
right.
kind of stuff that is a little bit out there in the ether lately. Mm-hmm. It is a lifelong diagnosis.
Correct.
And even with very effective instruction, some of these issues are going to persist lifelong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One of the interesting changes was, like, the first definition had that word recognition mm-hmm. piece, and now it says reading and spelling. I kind of do like that part, that they pulled that spelling, that it could be either or.
Yes.
Because we do see that with our students. Some are really, really good readers, but then they cannot spell anything.
Yes.
So that is an important piece that we see in our center all the time.
Agree.
I really like that they did that. One of the pieces that I have a little bit of a, we want our students to be automatic, mm-hmm. which means they can do it, but there's a lot more in the new definition about fluency, mm-hmm. and I feel that that can be taken the wrong way, because we find a lot that fluency becomes the thing that the people really want to see.
Agree.
And that is part of the new definition that I didn't really have.
Agree. I have some pause there about the way we emphasize fluency. And right. just given, I'm of two minds, because truly, mm-hmm. I believe that it belongs part of the definition because it is a major concern.
Right.
My fear, which I think is your same fear, Nicole, is the history of the kind of whole language balanced literacy approach putting so much emphasis on reading fluency, mm-hmm. Especially just, you know, running record, word fluency, not even word fluency, honestly, just oral reading fluency mm-hmm. was like the end all be all. And to be honest, it was just the easiest thing for them to track. And research is shaky at best in older years.
Right.
And so I agree. I am a bit concerned about the emphasis in fluency, even though I believe it belongs as part of the definition.
Right. I just think that some people just tag on to it too fast.
Yes.
You know, and I feel that it could have been explained a little bit differently.
I
because for our students, sometimes they're not going to be as fluent as their peers ever.
Right.
And, but for them, they're fluent. So.
Yeah, I agree. It's troublesome.
Yeah.
I am struggling to process that part of that. I do really like that they expand beyond just the phonology piece,
correct,
the sound processing piece.
Yep.
Because not all of my students with dyslexia do specifically struggle in that area.
Right.
We know from research that it is often, but not always.
Correct.
That especially in older kids, people,
right,
who are diagnosed later. So I really am very happy to see that they are including the morphology piece in there.
I agree, because we see
units.
That as,
yes,
a, in our, especially in our older students, that is so hard for them.
It's
sometimes
so hard for them,
yeah,
and it is so critical. And I am very pleased to see it part of the definition, because I think it is going to push structured literacy advocates to be more explicit on the morphology instruction.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
That is needed, and I'm happy to see that in there.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I really like is that they really shifted in the new definition away from IQ, because,
yes,
we've all been reading a bunch of research has come out that says IQ has nothing really related to dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And the original definition, it was confusing the way they.
I agree. They kind of, in the old definition, it says the struggle seemed unexpected. And it was like unexpected related to
what
exactly?
Yeah, it wasn't really defined what that meant.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, while the new definition is extremely wordy,
yes, at least it explains that, yeah, it's not based on IQ.
It's not based on IQ, and as we well know by now, dyslexia occurs across all places across IQ. It's not correlated.
Right.
And so I do like that it is not talking about that gift or that gap anyway.
Right.
And
I also like their new part where they still struggle even after evidence-based,
yes,
teaching, because I think people think when you're done, you're just fine.
Ta-da! Yeah.
And our students will continue to struggle with certain things their entire lives.
It perpetuates the myth of dyslexia has a cure.
Correct.
You know, yeah, great outcomes for people with,
right,
dyslexia.
Definitely.
Way improved skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
But still that underlying piece, because it is neurobiological in nature.
Right.
And it does explicitly address the fact in the new definition that it applies across all disability levels.
Correct.
Which I
That's
am
important.
Happy to see.
Mm-hmm.
I know you personally have had a journey with that with your kids. So
yes, definitely.
I'm happy to see, on the behalf of all parents out there,
right,
who had to fight for their kids,
yes,
on that, I'm very pleased that it says that right there. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I like that they kept comprehension and vocabulary concerns in there, because both of those things are impacted,
yeah,
by literacy. So I think that was a very good thing that they kept. And then I do like that they expanded it to like school progress, confidence,
yes,
emotionally well-being, because we see that, right? Anxiety is very high,
yep,
in students with dyslexia, and just being able to say that somewhere and show that,
exactly,
somewhere is a good thing to have, I think.
I think it really gives that new definition a lot more power and shows the more all-encompassing nature of dyslexia.
Correct.
Actually, dyslexia is a whole lot, you know, I mean, it does blow my mind a bit, even though it is a huge myth, that the more I am interacting with public who is not in our world,
right,
the myth that persists, you know, oh, that's like seeing letters upside down and backwards.
Yep.
No, one, that is a huge myth, and two, no, it is very all-encompassing.
Right.
So I'm happy to see that specifically addressed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I also like in the ending where they say it really emphasizes that early identification and support, where the old definition didn't even address that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's important, right? Because we know the better outcomes come the earlier you start the intervention.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I do like that the new definition does explicitly state that intervention at any age,
right,
should be done.
Exactly.
Because that is also, I mean, still on our frequently asked questions list. It's still something I get asked a lot. Like, well, you know, my kid's in fifth grade. Is that kind of just too late? Like, is this mm-hmm. just how it is now?
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, as someone with a background in high school special education, I'm happy mm-hmm. to see that, obviously, I think timing is really important and I want as early as possible, but that is not an option for all kids, as I have seen over and over. So I'm happy that it explicitly says, no, right. we still intervene no matter when we find it.
Correct. I also like, too, that they did add that it's, you know, it ranges mild to severe because mm-hmm. it explicitly says that in the new definition, which, you know, sometimes explaining that to families is hard because they think it's only one or the other. You know, it's not just one thing. And I think that that is definitely.
Yeah. You know, and occurs across in some symptoms in one child may appear very different and more severe. I mean, I have had students with severely impaired phonological systems,
right.
but some of their other language, like working memory, was off the charts.
Right.
That is one way dyslexia could look.
Yes, I agree.
It could look the opposite of that.
Exactly.
And it's actually still dyslexia. Mm-hmm. So I have come around to it. I think I am a person who changes hard for, and I think I have to just admit that. I initially was not a fan mm-hmm. of the new definition. I did submit some comments when it was up for public comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was just that concern that people were going to see one word that one.
I agree. It is still a concern of mine. I think the wordiness in general of the new definition concerns me.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, we understand the words in the definition. Mm-hmm. I think one of my comments was, maybe you should define what some of the words are that you're using in the definition, because some people might not know them. Like, I don't know, like, morphology?
Well, yes, right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's not something that,
you know,
that
and
all
morphological is even how it occurs there, right? So
right.
It's like, I do worry about the word choices they made, and the length of it is frankly insane. That's an extremely lengthy definition that I do think either could be pared down.
Mm-hmm.
And or at least appear reformatted in some places, because it's really not. It's like it just appears, guys. Like,
yeah,
black
in a big
text.
Yep, black text.
Right on IDEA's website. And I guys.
yeah, because the website is supposed to be for practitioners and families.
Yes.
So that's kind of my concern too, right? Like, not everybody is going to understand every word in there. And then what does it actually mean? And how does it impact their child? Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think It will be interesting to see how the adoption of the new definition either changes or not changes things.
Right.
You know, I think something important to keep in mind is this is the International Dyslexia Association's definition of dyslexia, which holds a lot of weight. Don't get me wrong. IDA is a big deal.
Yes.
They are a really big organization. They're probably like the loudest voice for people with dyslexia out
Correct.
There. But it is not the definition that is in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual.
Correct.
Those two definitions are not the same. And so
exactly.
From a clinical perspective, the way we are analyzing the data to fit the DSM-5, that isn't necessarily changing.
Right. They don't change that very often.
They don't change that
very often. It's a big book and
it
has to go through a lot of revisions before it can even be submitted.
Yeah.
And changed. And
it's for a very different purpose, right? This kind of definition is out there for families, practitioners, school.
Right.
It covers more ground than something like a
diagnosis criteria. Right.
So I think what is not changing here is the diagnostic criteria.
Correct.
Even though we are expanding this, I don't know, umbrella, I guess, tent.
Right.
To include more things. It will be interesting to see what implications, if any, this really does have on kind of what we do
and how
on the day to day.
Impact, you know, community or systems that are in place already. We don't know yet because they haven't changed it since 2002. So
yeah.
We don't know who's going to read it, what they're going to say about it. You know, so it's going to be an interesting journey to see.
Agree. Yeah. To be determined.
To be determined, definitely. So, Maggie, what's happening outside of dyslexia?
Oh, my goodness. What is happening outside of dyslexia is we just had a birthday in the house. My son turned 8. That's just feels like that's a big number.
It does.
So far, it's a pretty good look on him, though. He's had, you know, a good week. It has been a week, probably just because it's the week of his birthday. I've been kind of looking at him and like, oh, wow, you really are stepping up in some areas that, you know, he's taking more responsibility for things, being able to independently do so many more tasks than he could even a couple of months ago. So yeah, it's kind of been one of those like, okay, buddy. yeah, that's what's going on with us. What's going on with you, Nicole?
Yeah, so we have a birthday next week too.
A big one.
I know. She's becoming a teenager.
Oh.
She's turning 13.
But she's the best.
I know.
But she's
the turning best. 13.
I know. Oh, I don't even. 5 years from now, you're going to be like, oh, you're fine.
Right? You have to go through it.
Yes. I'm just so happy that you get to do this before me. Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because she wanted her birthday to be at a Mary Kay place, which. Okay.
I love that.
She is all about makeup and it is just
oh my gosh.
So funny. And so that's what we're doing. Cupcakes and friends and makeovers. Yay!
Oh my gosh. She's gonna have the best time.
She's gonna
look amazing and feel amazing and
she will. Ugh, she
happy
really
birthday.
Will. Yeah. And I think they'll have a lot of fun, but it's just really funny because
ugh, all the feels.
You know, I want her to stay my baby forever.
I know. Well, yeah, my 8-year-old keeps telling me that, quote, as soon as possible, they will be moving to Australia.
Why is he going to go to Australia?
Because he is a very, he is highly, highly interested in marine biology.
Okay.
And
I guess
he,
that's a good place to go,
specifically
then,
has the interest in Australia right now. So yes, quote, as soon as possible.
He'll have to get through college really fast.
Yeah. Like, well,
since he just turned 8, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
There's that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that.
Uh-huh. Well, everybody, please, thank you for listening, and please follow us on social media. Reach out if you have any questions or would like us to discuss a topic. If you do like our show, be sure to follow and rate us on your favorite podcast player. This is how we reach more listeners, and we get to help more families. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.